Season's greetings. I love Christmas, but then who doesn't? Christmas is great. But the thing I've learned after doing my job for so many years is this. Nothing so great should be easy. And that's where I come in. I'm Christmas Chaos. We've never met, but you know my work. I'm the unseen but ever-present force that stuffs your stockings full of stress and decks your halls with anxiety. To keep your calendar full with office parties and school plays, family dinners. I love to stuff your mailbox full of invitations to Christmas decorating contests and, I don't know, gift wrapping extravaganzas. Sure, you could just say no to all those things, but then you'd be a jerk and everyone would hate you.
What? You don't think these things tangle themselves, do you?
Sometimes you make my job too easy for me. Sure, you could have paid $10 extra to get the bike already assembled. You're too smart for that.
Ooh.
Mean I'm going to pass up a golden opportunity when it presents itself. This is Christmas Chaos reminding you that you could take a day off and relax, but then you'd be a jerk and everyone would hate you.
Does anybody else feel this way about Christmas sometimes? That Christmas is just the most chaotic time of your life? And you bounce from work to Christmas party after Christmas party, because if you don't, then you'd be a jerk. And then you bounce from Christmas parties to the store to buy more gifts. And then you have to rush back home to get your house ready for Christmas so your friends don't think that you live like animals, right? And you're always just rushing around to the next thing in this Christmas season. Rushing, rushing, rushing. And it's absolutely chaotic, is it not? And it's exhausting. And when you add to that the fact that we only have like 10 hours of daylight, by the time you feel like you're making progress in your day, suddenly it's dark outside and feels like 11 o'clock at night. Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as the sun goes down, I'm off. I'm done. I feel like I have done everything that I've wanted to do that day and that I can't do anything else, right? As our children's director once told me, I'm solar powered. We can't do anything else. Darkness makes everything more difficult. Darkness just adds to the chaos of everything. And my friend Michael found that out. Michael and I were firefighters together in Cape Girardeau, and one night after a long fire, it was the middle of the night, probably about 2 a.m., Michael took one of our engines back to the firehouse on his own, and because of the darkness and because he was so tired, he backed our $300,000 fire truck into our $2 million building. He has not lived that down yet, and I told him that I was going to tell it here. Darkness makes everything more difficult. Darkness adds to the chaos of it all. If that story doesn't work for you, or if you don't believe me, try going to the bathroom in the middle of the night as a man without turning any of the lights on. Darkness makes everything more difficult. Now, I'm, of course, just talking with these funny little stories, but in all reality, darkness in our life is both literal and figurative. That we experience darkness in so many areas of our life, and that darkness makes everything more difficult, and it just adds to the chaos. And the prophet Isaiah knew that well. At the time when this passage from Isaiah 9 was written, Israel was about to come under attack by their enemies. Now, these enemies would be coming in from the north, and right at the north was Judah. And so this led to a dark period of time as people wondered what their future would look like, as they wondered what would happen to them. Their lives, their livelihood was in danger. And the king of Judah at the time was this guy named Ahaz. And Ahaz was trying to look for a good solution to the problem. He was trying to protect Israel. And so God sent this prophet Isaiah to Ahaz to bring him a message, to warn him about what was going to happen if he made the wrong move. But Isaiah, even though he tried so hard, could not get through to Ahaz. Ahaz instead aligned himself with this godless society, thinking that they would protect him. But his godless political alliance did Judah no good. The attack came. See, during the reign of Ahaz, not only did he align himself with a godless society, but he led his people into more idolatry. He didn't uphold social justice, and everything that he did just led to more people feeling the darkness and gloom and despair. All that Ahaz did was leave the people of Israel asking themselves one more time, is there anyone who can save us? Is there anyone who can bring us hope? You ever asked yourself those questions? Is there anyone who can save me? Is there anyone who can bring me hope? I mean, we're all from various different generations, right? We all have various life experiences, and yet we've all had that internal battle within ourselves. Where is hope going to come from? Who is going to come into my situation and change things? Because as we keep looking around, it just seems to get darker and darker and darker. We flip on the news and we see people being oppressed in North Korea and Syria. We look outside of our doors and people are going hungry. We look in our own lives and we see darkness in our marriages, in our workplaces, with our children, in our failures that seem to keep nipping at our heels even after years. No matter what we do, at the end of the day, it seems like darkness and gloom are the only things that await us. And yet we want to be resilient people, right? We try to do the right thing, and generation after generation has tried in some way to bring enlightenment into their lives. The Greeks thought that knowledge would do it, that knowledge would provide freedom and hope. Eastern religions believed and still do that if you learn the right way to meditate, if you lived a perfect life and left behind all the worldly things, that you would attain this sense of nirvana and paradise. And our Western society has adopted this thought that you really don't need God. You just need to follow your own path and your own truth. And in being a good person, you will bring enlightenment to your own life. And for years, these thoughts, these ideologies have existed. And yet we are no further ahead in getting rid of the darkness than we were 2,700 years ago when Isaiah wrote this. No matter where we go, no matter where we turn, darkness is waiting for us. And here's the problem. It's because all of these philosophies put me at the center. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a perfect person. My wife can attest to that. I'm not perfect. No matter what I do, even when I'm trying to do the right thing, I often do the wrong thing. I mean, if you were to take a list of all the things that I've done right and all the things that I've done wrong, the list of all the things I've done wrong, how many times I've been impatient, how many times I've been angry, how many times I've talked about people, will far outweigh the list of the things I've done right. And it's the same with you. And you come to this realization, well, if somebody's going to change the situation, it can't be me because I'm not perfect. You ever feel that way? Where you get to the end of the day and you think there can't be any hope because if I'm all there is, if I'm the answer in some way to bringing light into the darkness, it will never, ever happen. And at the end of the day, once again, we are left with darkness, despair, and gloom. And the darkness only adds to the chaos. When we finally start to come to grips with this fact, we're driven back to the words of Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, Isaiah talks about there will no longer be any gloom for those who are in anguish. He talks about how those who have sat in darkness will see a great light. And then he follows it up with those beautiful words, "For to us a child is born." That this Emmanuel, this God with us, is the answer to our problems. That this Emmanuel is the one who brings light. But even if that's true, you still feel darkness in your life, don't you? And I would say that if you are still existing in darkness, if you still feel that all you have in life is chaos and gloom, then you are not looking for hope in the right place. See, the answer to your darkness, the light that you're looking for, doesn't exist in more presence or more money or fame. It doesn't exist at the golf course or in a bar. A light is found in one place, in a manger, in Jesus. See, every other religion in our world puts you and I at the center, but that's not the case with Christianity. At the center of Christianity is sweet baby Jesus. And that sweet baby grows up to be a perfect man, and that perfect man is deemed a criminal, and he's crucified. See, at the center of Christianity is a man who loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. At the center of Christianity is a resurrection that conquers death, a death that you and I deserved. At the center of Christianity is not you and I, it's Emmanuel. It's God with us. Where do you see the darkness and chaos in your life? Is it in the political situations that just seem to be getting worse? Then turn to the mighty Lord who made the heavens and earth. Is it in your marriage where all you seem to do is argue? Then turn to the Prince of Peace. Is it at work where you're wondering how to make the right decisions? Then turn to the wonderful counselor. Is it as a parent as you're trying to figure out how to lead? Then turn to the everlasting Father. See, Jesus comes to us as a baby to teach us about what light is and to shatter our darkness. With Jesus, there is hope. There is a reason to wake up in the morning. There is a reason to love others. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And his light shatters your darkness. Jesus loves you. So do I. Merry Christmas.